Good evening. It's Wednesday, April 27th, and you're listening to Beyond Tilted, Episode 6. I'm your host, Kyle Pett, and today on the show we have Weather We Playing, News, and in our featured segment this evening, we're talking about the resurgence of difficult video games.
Revengeance.
And as he's already spoiled his introduction, we have Andrew Green, and
yeah, he spoiled it.
And sitting over in his silent, quiet corner, with a long, flowing locks of hair. Oh wait, he has no hair.
I do. I have spectral hair, like my my comic character. Yeah, spectral hair. It's the best looking hair. Oh, that comic hasn't been released yet. Looks like you gotta get a little bit of a sneak peek. Anyway, yeah, so...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, seriously. Speaking of spoiler alert, sorry, I just want to open it up real quickly and say Game of Thrones, I'm actually pretty pumped.
La, 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 la,
no, no, no,
la, la,
I haven't watched the season yet. I haven't watched the season. And I don't have any spoilers for you last season. I am committing myself back to Game of Thrones. I am going through it again. I'm giving it one final push. I'm going to see if I can finish the series and get caught up to current days. So we're not going to be able to talk about it ever again because, you know.
And I say, fuck Game of Thrones. The books are better. And you're making a shitty TV show.
And I don't care about either.
I neither agree nor disagree.
Hopefully this gets us a lot of rage and maybe some view and maybe some listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. Or one listener on Game like of... leaving. Yeah.
Send your rage my way.
Oh, no. A little bit of
please
robot
no spoilers.
There. A little bit of robot.
Hurt.
I think that was on my end, though.
Yeah, you were de-rezzing.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Pete, what have you been playing this week?
League of Legends. I really want to be playing Overwatch.
And next week.
Or League of Legends. Yeah. Yeah, right? I'm looking forward to that. So, and we kind of got Andy to commit, so...
Yeah?
Dude. Playing Friday night with us for a couple hours, yeah. We're going to be in on Tuesday, of course, right? So, pretty
obviously.
Sure. Yeah, or Wednesday. Actually, maybe no podcast next week, folks.
There will be a podcast next week. We just may not be paying total attention to said podcast.
We'll be playing Overwatch while podcasting? That's not going to work.
Yes.
That's
well, it'll totally
work. But
I've
yeah, so,
worse things.
So I'm going to use this to plug the week after's subject, which we're going to be doing a complete in-depth analysis with a special guest, hopefully. It's looking good, though, who's been playing the beta since almost the first week of Overwatch. We're going to have different viewpoints on it. Obviously, Andy's the hater, and we're the fanboys for this one. So anyway, I'm really excited about that, but I'm also excited about the show we have tonight. Going to throw it over to Kyle Pett for a change. What have you been playing this week, sir?
Well, I played a little Sunset Overdrive, finally, on the weekend. It's pretty fun.
What the hell is that?
It's a shooter by Insomniac. They do the Ratchet & Clank games.
Yeah.
For the PlayStation. They made
you remember Jet Set Radio? It's kind of like that.
Pete's not going to know that.
Of course he won't.
Basically, you've got all these... It's a shooter. It's an open-world shooter. But you've got all these platforming stuff.
Why?
And you're not going to be as effective if you just stand on the ground and shoot things. You've got to be, like, moving and jumping. And
about that, Kyle. You're actually more effective if you just stay on the ground and shoot. That's kind of my problem with the game.
Ah.
But that's not the fun way to play, so don't fucking do that.
So playing for fun is better than playing in the best strategic sense in this game.
Yes, it's very hard for me to wrap my head around, but yes, playing that game for fun is actually rather fun.
Just how we played Warcraft 3, isn't it?
True.
And it's got one of those kind of crazy, wacky, hilarious settings.
It's an Insomniac game.
Yeah, well, you say that, and yet Resistance is an Insomniac game as well.
I think it's hilarious.
Resistance is very much there, dark and twisty, though. Right?
Like grimdark?
I mean, thought it was more of like an Andy Kaufman joke.
Oh, cool.
It's about an alien invasion.
I thought that was XCOM. I'm really behind, guys. I'm really behind.
There's a
there's lots of games about alien invasions.
I thought it
like
was
a third of them.
Aliens invade a lot.
I know that Mass Effect's not about alien invasions. It's about
Mass Effect is about an alien invasion.
It's about synthetics invading, not
aliens. Still alien entities.
There's still alien entities.
Aren't they native to the solar system? Or the galaxy? No?
Not really?
I have not spoiled the game enough for myself. Good God.
Yes, kind of. They are. They are, actually.
Right? See?
They are native to the Milky Way galaxy.
How could they be aliens, then, if they're reinvading their own galaxy? That doesn't make sense.
Because they've spent so much time in the dark space between galaxies.
Wow. That game sounds so cool. And this is not the first time on podcast I've said I need to go play it, but I need to go play that game.
You own it. Do you own the first game?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, the first one's the best one. Play that.
Yeah. And Gears of War, speaking of games made with the Unreal Engine, Gears 4 is in open beta now for the multiplayer.
Oh, cool.
So I played a little bit of that this afternoon. It's pretty good. It's Gears of War, right? Like, if you like Gears of War, you like that. They got the active reloads and all that.
What if you liked Gears of War, but not any of the sequels?
So 3 was the only one I really played multiplayer. I never played 1 or 2 multiplayer, so I can't really speak to the differences. It's definitely slower than 3. At least that's what it feels like.
Really?
Yeah.
They're making a slower game in this environment.
Feels slightly slower.
Well, that might be a good thing.
I don't know whether that's beta tuning, because the game's still 6-7 months off. So this is a true.
Oh, it's a really early beta.
Like this is a true test environment for them.
Yeah. I thought it was
the last couple games that kind of devolved into rolling around with a shotgun. Yeah.
I mean, but the first game was also very much like that.
Well, yeah, but the first game, it was attacked on multiplayer. They didn't think it was going to take off.
Wow. Their marketing certainly made me think it was. I remember those ads on TV.
At no point in their marketing of the first game did they talk about the multiplayer PvP.
That's true. But though, remember those? That was one of the first times I really actually paid attention to a video game commercial on network television at the time, right?
Oh, Gears of War has always done excellent commercial.
Yeah.
I don't know what those commercials have to do with the games, but yes, they're brilliant commercials.
They're brilliant commercials. And those commercials are a lot truer to Gears of War than a lot of commercials are to their games. Mm-hmm. Halo 5, for example.
Yeah, I think that conversation's done.
Those commercials are just, they're pretty good commercials. Nothing to do with the game.
Oh, Halo. It's a Pokemon!
And yet, it's probably the best playing Halo. Like, at its core, it's the best Halo. I think the sandbox is the best. But the campaign is just so, that it doesn't. Andy, you still playing Dark Souls?
I am. I also picked back up Destiny. Got into a little bit of the Iron Banner. Good stuff.
Is that a new content patch or something?
Is that new content?
No, it's just a thing they do every month where, I think every month, where they normalize the level of your gear when you're playing in PvP. It's an event where they stop doing that. So it makes it kind of interesting because some people can just one-shot you and other people are invincible.
So like the crazy high-end raiders.
Yes, it gets weird.
MC Raiders.
It's kind of like vanilla WoW PvP.
Yes.
Where if you actually PvP'd, you were kind of shit.
Well, they've done better this time because if you actually PvP, you have quite a bit of gear with PvP abilities on it, whereas most of the raid gear is like, hey, this reloads faster. I don't care. I have this magic PvP gun that when I get a kill with it, all of my ammo is back. I'm going to use that and never reload by shooting you in the face.
It's actually very interesting. That's got to be hard to kind of wrap your head around, though, because at least the way I play multiplayer shooters, right? Like, you finish an engagement and you reload. Like,
that's it's real hard to get used to, yeah.
Right? Like, that's the first thing you do. It's like, guy dies, reload.
But that's what you got to learn in PvP. Reloading when you don't need to is going to get your ass killed.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to our new talking about the news. I'm going to start. Nintendo has announced that the NX will be launching globally on March 2017. And as such, Nintendo is literally releasing no video games in the next year.
What?
Are we getting... So the Zelda game's going to be like Twilight Princess again, where they release it on two systems.
It's going to be like Twilight Princess, yes.
Good.
Yep.
Because that's what I'm looking for in a Zelda game, like Twilight Princess.
And it's also apparently the only thing they will be bringing to E3 is the Zelda game. that you will not be able to play for almost a year.
It's so weird. I have a Wii U because I didn't pay for it, and I've got a bunch of games on it that I love, and I feel like my life has been enriched by playing them instead of not. But at the same time, every time they have more news from Nintendo, I'm just like, why do I own this thing?
I feel Nintendo feels like that. Nintendo's such a great game company. Right? Like, they're great at crafting a game.
And making hardware that can do 1080p 60.
But they want to do it their way.
Yeah, they want to do it their way. And I kind of feel like they almost need to get out of the console business.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen because I don't think they care enough.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Nintendo would make a shit ton more money if they went third party.
They own the handheld market, though, so they're never going to give that up.
Okay, yeah. I'll give you that. I think they should get
and then on the console market, we've been over this before, but they could bleed money for longer than we'll be alive and still be in the black.
Yeah,
they can.
They're fine.
I'm just saying it would be nice because I kind of feel like a Nintendo console is that it sits there most of the time gathering dust until you have people over.
Yeah,
it's the party console. It's also, you'll notice, for the last couple generations has been the cheaper option. So it's, oh, you got a console, you should also probably get this thing.
How much is it, like $300?
It's still 300.
Yeah.
Is it still 300?
It's still 300,
man.
That's impressive. that's the other big problem with the Wii U right now. Is the Wii U is still $300. You can in the United States, these are not Canadian prices for our Canadian listeners, get an Xbox One for $300. And you can get a PS4 for $350.
Really?
Which console should you be buying?
None, because they're about to replace all of them.
those prices have been, for the Xbox One and PS4, have been there since at least Christmas, if not earlier. Microsoft tends to, they've never cut the price, but it seems to always be bundled and on sale down at that 300. So it's never officially down there,
right?
But it's always actually like in practice down there. So I think that's the real. That's the real kicker. And that was before, and those prices have predated this whole there's a new version coming out.
And yeah, I will stick to guns. Don't buy anything for a while.
The new PlayStation 4 needs to come out at the same price as the current PlayStation 4.
And they need to lower the price of the current one while doing that. That way this is the price conscious one. Also, we've done it to death, but that fucking thing cannot run 4K. If anyone tells you it can, they're an idiot.
I feel like, because I had a Wii U for a while, and I played it a little bit when I got it, played it a little bit when Smash Brothers came out, but I never really played it a lot. It always kind of felt like it sat there, and I realize it's because I don't really have a space to have people over to sit in front of the TV and play. Have some drinks. So it never really made sense for me to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because that's kind of the real time when you get the most use out of a Wii U. Whereas the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One have very good single-player experiences available on their consoles.
Oh, it is the party game system. I had an 8-player Smash going at a New Year's party. Great stuff.
That party must have been off the chain.
You know, it gets real hard to figure out who's winning when you can no longer see the screen.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any news they'd like to bring up?
I have some League of Legends news. Could I slip right in?
Yeah, of course you can.
So I didn't announce it on podcast last week, although I think this is somewhat old news. Yorick was supposed to get his rework after Taric, right? In fact, the fact that they bumped Yorick for Taric was a bit of a surprise to everyone because Yorick was the one that they were hinting at for so long, right? Yorick's rework is being bumped by Ryze's 6th rework. Ryze has 3 times more reworks than Yorick has skins. And he's getting another one. So Yorick gets to stay where he is. I'm excited to see eventually. I think Yorick will eventually be out by the end of this season. I think it's going to be Ryze, Yorick, and they might squeeze one more in. I think they said they think they can squeeze 3 in before Worlds. So I'm a little cheesed off about that.
Does this include all the mage reworks?
This does not. This does not include the mage reworks. This includes like the we need to bring in an entire.
Is Yorick a mage?
Speed or whatever. Yorick is not a mage, unfortunately. And that's one of the things they need to work on him. Actually, I'm not going to get into semantics here, but his damage is in a weird hybrid state right now, and not in a good way, and it's plagued him for a while. Other league news. I wish I had more. There's a couple roster changes. Santorin's coming to Energy. Who else got picked up for Energy? Did you somebody else? I should be
Impact.
I should be better prepared. Yeah, Impact too. Yeah, that's huge for that team. That might be exactly what they need. Looks like TIP is going to get sold off. And
Yarge left TSM.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. It was Quas, Santorin, and Kiwi Kid joined Energy.
I hope Quas has his stuff under control, that anxiety or whatever it was. So.
And I believe it's Impact who... I don't think they've made the announcement. It doesn't look like...
I saw this morning.
But
it was.
The rumor is Impact will be joining Cloud9.
Hmm. Yeah. So some cool things.
I think that's
it's good to
see. Or is joining Cloud9's Challenger team, something like that.
Yeah. It's good to see some of the teams that have been struggling or whatever getting some more talent. I think North America is going to have one hell of a split next season. Oh, in other news, League of Legends wise, CLG has not been boot camping. So I don't really know what else to say about that other than I'm a little disappointed. Now
that's kind of awkward considering TSM is discussing going and spending more than a month and a half from the sounds of it over in Korea to boot camp for the summer split,
because we have a bit of time off until the summer split starts up sometime in June, right? So I'm a little disappointed to see. Now this is pure speculation. Afro looked fine when he was on stream the other night. Darshan looked a little haggard. Maybe they're scrimming and boot camping in North America, but they're definitely in their Cali home. So they didn't go anywhere to boot camp or anything like that. They didn't go to the hyperbolic chamber or, you know, whatever the hell it's called.
Hyperbolic time chamber.
Yeah,
I got you.
The hyperbolic time chamber.
That's a DBZ reference for all of the none of you who don't get that.
That is Korea. I'm a little disappointed as a CLG fan, but maybe they're not taking MSI that seriously.
Do you think time works differently in Korea?
it obviously does. Their players are so much better mechanically than ours. But anyway.
See, and I don't think they're that much better mechanically.
Really?
I do.
Still. I'm starting to come over and see it that way.
I think there's a significant drop-off between...
I think they're better as mechanical players, but potentially they're worse at putting together teams and macro strategies. That's where I see North America actually being able to steal the first win off of a Korean team. And a Korean team that is significant. I mean, yes, TSM did well against Jin Air last time they fought them, but still, you know. But anyway, so again, this is pure speculation. I'm just assuming they haven't been scrimming because they're still in Cali, and Afro did not look that tired, although Darshan did, so maybe they're scrimming really hardcore in North America or something like that, but who knows? So, MSI is this weekend, though, is it not? Coming up. Pretty sure. So, yeah. I'm just trying to find the news right now. Again, really unprepared,
folks. No, it's next week.
Okay, next weekend. So, yeah, whatever. I'm really excited to see some more Pro League, and I hope some good stuff happens. Oh, and I'm not going to go into a rant right now about the news of League of Legends, but I'm currently in a hate cycle with Riot for a bunch of changes that they've made and are proposing to make. So I'm just going to end that there. Fix your shit, okay. Riot.
It's a like 2 week event too, it seems.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then.
Yeah, but it's over in China. It's actually very weird that CLG is not
over there already. Maybe they're going a bit later and they are planning to boot camp when they get there. You know? But I know they're not boot camping right now, or not in the traditional sense that we've come to know in the scene, right? So anyway, that's it for league news at the moment that I felt was relevant. So.
Okay. Andy, you got any news items you'd like to bring
up?
Not
that I recall.
Oh, that's fine.
Not that you recall. I feel like there was one last thing.
There was definitely something.
I wanted to bring up. I can't quite remember what it was.
I wish I could vamp for you, but I got nothing right now.
I know.
Buddy. Oh, I remember one.
Okay.
Okay.
John Romero is making a new video game.
Okay.
If you don't know who that is, what the hell is wrong with you?
It's a father of zombies?
It's real weird to me that John Romero has to ask Kickstarter for money. I think when John Romero goes, hey, I'm going to make a video game, guys, there should be somebody with money going, here, make it. Make it happen. Just pushing wads
Andy,
of cash towards him.
Could I interject and ask what was the first video game he made?
Doom.
The first Doom?
Yeah.
Really?
See, I feel like this is my problem with Kickstarter. I feel like they go to Kickstarter too early.
Hmm. Yeah. They should have been able to bring this to a big company who was like, hey, you want an exclusivity deal? Give me some money.
Because he doesn't want the money. He wants the buzz. He wants the buzz.
Yeah.
Right? It generates buzz.
Because seriously, he's the kind of person who can walk up to anybody.
Yeah.
And they will be like, he can be like, I want to make a new video game.
Yeah.
Here is a blank check.
And that's not what Kickstarter is for. Right? Kickstarter is for indie people to be able to get something going that are unknown and nobody trusts. Like, that's what it's for. It's not for the big guys who are already established.
Yeah. It makes no sense to me that he has to ask us for money as the consumer. That's weird. Though I do have to admit, he's still keeping the main. He's still rocking it. It's kind of impressive after all these years.
Mm. Now, I do think that there are some subgenres that can lend themselves to being kickstarted versus funded by a large publishing house.
Yeah, there's always exceptions.
Despite having things like, I don't think Star Citizen and by Factor Elite Dangerous would have ever gotten off the ground without Kickstarter.
Right, because the industry had decided that kind of game was dead.
Right, like,
clearly they were wrong.
They were wrong, and fans have poured tons of money into that, for better or for worse. Of this, not judging either game here. or the money put down in those. But that's an example of a genre that was, for all intents and purposes, dead. That they did need someone to...
And they did have a big-ass name in front of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know, the guy behind the Wing Commander series is the man behind Star Citizen.
Oh, George Romero and John Romero are two different people.
Yes, yes, they are.
I just Googled it. I was really confused for a second.
Oh, I do like that one of the... Kickstarter backer goals or tiers is the 666 tier. And only 666 people can back at that tier.
They need to put a tier in that's like, no, like, seriously, guys, if we hit this tier, this thing will actually get made. Like, I feel that's necessary now. Because we had, well, a few weeks ago, we had a podcast on Kickstarters and how potentially scammy they were. And I still...
Yeah, no, it's pretty fair to say this is going to get made. In fact, he's probably already made a prototype.
Oh, man.
He's not that kind of guy. It may not be functional, but he will be like, see, I made this thing. I want to make it work. I mean, he made Jedi Katana, so, you know, never forget. But,
yeah,
like, even that was just scope creep.
Scope creep? You're going to have to explain that one to me.
Scope creep is when...
Oh, sorry.
It's actually a big problem with Kickstarter.
I know now, but let's explain it to our guests anyway.
For listeners at this point.
Yeah.
Scope creep is where you keep expanding what your product is going to do or cover to the point where it gets so bloated that it no longer resembles itself.
Yeah. The core that it was intended for. Spore. I'm trying to think of a couple others. The opposite of Warlords of Draenor. Oh, sick burn.
Cataclysm?
Where you just have no features whatsoever and you just kind of release like 2 hours of content and hope that the community figures it out. Anyway, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So that is a definite problem with Kickstarters, for sure.
Something that a lot of people are afraid of with Star Citizen, because it was supposed to just be a fun space game, and now it seems to be EVE Online.
You know, Gretchev, he explained it to me, the way they're gating the releases, and they've kind of separated things and compartmentalized the various things. He actually instilled some confidence in me, almost like he was trying to sell me a pyramid scheme, actually. But
needs somebody to be a gunner on one of his ships.
True. But I already told him my Twitch is terrible. He actually instilled some confidence in me that, you know, the right parts of the game are going to be coming out at a decent pace. So, I don't know.
I can play the parts of it that are out, it's instilled a lot of confidence in me. I can see them slapping this into the thing I actually want and it working real well.
Like, I was pretty doubtful there for a while. I mean, that's one of the main reasons why we did that show a few weeks back, right? And now I'm actually kind of... I mean, in general, I still think we've raised some good points with that show. But I think we target... Or I personally targeted Star Citizen a little too harshly there. And I've since rescinded several of my ideas about what they were doing. And I actually think they can get it out and get a really good game out. Or parts of really good games. And eventually, it'll be one good game. So, yeah.
It may be a while.
Yeah.
All right, so... Talking about really good games.
All right.
Let's segue into
our topic,
which is the resurgence of increasingly difficult and frustrating games.
Can I set it up a little bit more?
Go for it.
I thought I just kind of did.
Well, you did, but from Battletoads to Dark Souls 3, stopping off at StarCraft 2 for people who like PvP, and you can't forget to mention XCOM. We'll also be bringing up several other topics, but those games, I think, have a pretty good cross-section. Andy, I want to warn you in advance, I should have done it in the pre-show, let's not focus on StarCraft II too much, because I think that's a whole other can of worms. I think this is more so about the single-player experience, but yeah, we can bring up some examples from StarCraft and StarCraft II for sure. But I am not a Dark Souls fan. I mean, I haven't played their games anyway, right? I
actually think you would be.
I probably would be, and you know what? I'm especially watching you and some other Dark Souls 3 streamers. I'm pretty pumped to actually go out and buy this game eventually. Having said that,
that pumpness, knowing Peter will die very shortly.
He'll get
from
it on
my, from my
sale
point
for like
of
15
view,
bucks.
These games are sheer pain. Oh, and another one. Sorry, Ninja Gaiden. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden, which Penny Arcade did a hilarious comic about just how challenging it was. Anyway, yeah. Have these games like sort of managed to kind of wiggle their way back into the mainstream? I remember Battletoads. You remember the Rescue Rangers Nintendo game was really challenging at the time too. Like those old school games, game developers seemed to kind of stray away from them for a while because they were so hard. And this is the end of my setup. I swear. What's his name? The guy who made Dark Souls?
Miyazaki.
Quote from him. When game testers came to me in developing the game, you probably know where this is going, developing the game and told me it's too hard, I went back to the drawing board and made it harder. Where it is almost like this small elite club of people that are like, yeah, I only died 6 times getting to the first boss. Yeah, well, I only died, you know, 3 times getting to the first boss or whatever. Where most video game developers in this day and age want to hand feed you, you know? So please, Andy, explain to me your theory on, first of all, why it's come back into the mainstream and why so many people seem to actually be accepting of it in this day and age, and why people like me are still fucking terrified of it, and why we're wrong for being terrified of games like this.
Well, I'm going to start with your last point there. We're going to have to come back and forth here quite a bit. But people being terrified of this game is 100% just marketing, with the whole prepare to die being the name of the first expansion of Dark Souls. That's kind of an issue.
Yeah.
But they're not actually that hard of games. Are they harder than your average game? Yes. Are you going to die? Yes. But the game has built that into not only a narrative decision, a storytelling decision, and a gameplay decision. So you die and you go, oh, don't let him do that again. Or turns out that floor isn't real.
Sorry to interject here. You brought up the narrative as well. This is a game that will not even spoon feed you the story. You have to go figure it out yourself.
That leads to my second point. This isn't actually, in many cases, a resurgence of hard-as-nails games. Mm-hmm. This is a resurgence of exploratory games. This is a game where you figure shit out.
Okay.
It doesn't tell you shit. You have to go find stuff. You have to read stuff. You have to scan stuff. Oh my god, this map actually means something. This is the Castlevania Metroid. This is the Metroidvania game made into 3D. That isn't just a terrible thing.
And it's not that platforming based from what I've seen.
Yeah,
anyway.
Because you can't.
Yeah. So, I mean, I never got on the Tomb Raider train back in the day. Was Tomb Raider this difficult?
I mean,
compared to like Kingdom Hearts, I'm assuming is a pretty easy game because it's
Kingdom Hearts is actually really difficult.
What the hell? Blizzard?
Kingdom Hearts is a JRPG, Pete. Those are notoriously difficult for the most part.
Kingdom Hearts 2 is really simple.
It sounds so fluffy and easy. I don't know. Okay. But was Tomb Raider sort of a... Because I remember people bragging about, you know, how they figured puzzles out in Tomb Raider and stuff like that. Was that...
Well, part of that is because they were idiots and we were all 12.
Yeah.
Right.
But...
Right? I feel like...
Pointy boobs, yeah.
Tomb Raider is kind of the same, almost the same as, like, Portal. Okay. Right? Portal or Zelda or something like that in terms of difficulty.
Yeah.
They're not hard, but you do have to kind of stop and think a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of figure, okay, I can jump here and there, and then do that there, and then I can get that. Okay.
Yeah.
Right,
now,
which is kind of how those games were designed.
Pete, since you're the relative outsider here, you can probably speak to this, but for the most part, games haven't really gotten easier.
No, they've gotten more fast-paced with more options, though. There usually is an easy option. What I'm trying to say, there usually is an easy option in most games.
Yeah, but think about what's actually occurring in a game that it just assumes you know at this point.
Mm.
And I mean, for Ian Kyle here, yeah. This is shit we've been dealing with since we were, you know, in elementary school, whereas for a newcomer coming in, this is a screen of flashing lights and numbers, and I have no idea what I'm looking at.
So I think I think you kind of bring up a good point. I do think games have gotten easier.
Hmm.
For the most part. And I think a lot of that comes down to people are a lot more conscious of how they spend their money now.
Right.
Especially as it's transitioned from games to these are now like people's hobbies, and we're looking at this more broadly now too, instead of we just play this. Mm-hmm. Now you're playing it to experience the story that's being told and all of that. Right? Now some stories are better than others. Mm-hmm. I mean, on one hand you have, you know, your 40, 50, 60, 80 hour RPGs. And on the other hand, you've got your 8 to 10 hour shooters. Both live in their own kind of world. But if you're a developer, you want your customers to be able to experience the game and experience the story.
Yeah.
Or they're not going to like it. They're not going to come back. They're not going to tell their friends. And you're not going to sell copies of it initially. Well, and two, you're never going to get a sequel.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because we were talking about it in the pre-show, is that why Demon's Souls was such a cult hit, Andy?
It was.
And
a large portion of it is no one knew it existed, for one.
Happened to allow Macaroni Taco Sauce to make... That one was really bad. I'm so sorry, folks, at home.
Yeah, that was...
I had to do one. No, what...
I would have gone with Mitsubishi Gallant.
What made that game successful enough to allow the people with the money to go to him and say, yeah, you know what, you know, let's do that again. Let's do a spiritual successor, you know?
A large part of it is that the people who review games for a living at that time were just kind of, like, they were getting to that saturation point that we see now where they've all broken up into their own little things where they're no longer print media. That was happening just at that time. And all these people who are getting burned out day after day playing the same damn game played something so radically different. They went, yeah, I'd like to see more of this.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen all the time.
It also kind of existed in this, in that moment right before indie really started to take off.
Yeah.
We had some indie games, Braid, Limbo, things like that. Things from the early days of Summer of Arcade, some early Steam stuff.
The Humble Bundle, or whatever I hear so much about.
Humble Bundle hadn't really... Yeah, not yet.
Humble Bundle. Wow. Okay.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
So you also had that. So indie hadn't quite taken off for those interesting, weird games.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got this crazy, hard Japanese game that's nothing like is out on the market now.
A Japanese game made with a Western aesthetic?
Yes.
Mm.
And that's the other thing, is it appeals to the Western audience, because a lot of the times... The Japanese games don't appeal to the West because Japanese gamers and European and North American gamers generally don't like the same kinds of things in their games. Right? Like Call of Duty and the shooters aren't big in Japan like they are in the West.
Okay.
So I want to point something out here. If you go back to the old Demon's Souls reviews, back from around when it came out, you're not going to find a lot of people talking about how difficult the game is.
Right. Is that because these were the core people that the game was like designed for that could rise to the occasion, or they didn't want to scare people off of
the
game?
I think that is part of the thing.
Probably a mixture of factors.
Is that because the reviewers, they play a lot of games, so I kind of feel like they can separate things a little bit better than kind of the general public can in terms of difficulty.
Yeah.
A lot of it comes down to that, at least with all the reviews I read at the time, and that I can remember, hopefully, clearly, who knows if that's true, most of them were, it was from an exploratory side. It was, there's this weird game, I don't know what it's about, I'm finding random shit out constantly, and it turns out I know nothing about what I'm doing. When I replayed the game after beating it, it was actually super easy, and I could walk past that thing that scared the shit out of me and made me go the long way.
Because they figured it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it really is just about puzzle solving. From a macro level to a mechanics, like micro level. Is that
kinda.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like eight minute frostworms for me or whatever in Warcraft 3. Like, I'm trying to put in terms for me to understand.
The best way I could describe
best,
it, you know? Is it's a Castlevania Symphony of the Night Super Metroid kind
of
game.
I
just made
any
in 3D. You really need to fix that. They are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, they just made that into 3D, removed a lot of the weird systems that didn't translate into 3D, and added a lot of other systems on top of it. And then, how do we make our world have like a rich and engaging story? How about it just doesn't?
You have to figure it out. Like that Bloodborne video that explained the story to me after you tried to explain the story to me and then just gave up and linked me the video. The cutscenes do not spoon feed you the exposition at all.
Because it's an exploratory game. Like, that's what these games are. They are about exploration. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they may be hard, but what they're really about is they're hitting that Bartle type of explore.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in such a brilliant way because a big thing that Miyazaki does is he writes down basically a codec going, this is what the game is about. This is all the characters and their motivations. We are not putting jack shit about that in the game, but this is anything they do has to be in service of what is written here.
So
you can work it out because you see what their actions are.
You know how much I hate questing in World of Warcraft, right? Right?
Yeah. Yes.
It's almost like the opposite of that. Because you have to grind stuff up. You don't have to follow this stupid story where it's like, go from point A to point B, okay, you're point B, you know? That actually might appeal to me.
Well, kinda. In fact, that's part of the brilliance of Dark Souls. You start the game, someone tells you a prophecy that you're supposed to ring a bell and escape from this asylum. So you escape from this asylum, go to ring the bell, and then some dude goes, actually, there's two bells, so now you go ring the second bell. And then it's like, yeah, but it turns out the gods are just fucking with it. And then it just kind of opens up from there. But if you were just focused, laser focused on finishing your task, as far as you know, God damn it, there were two bells. Then I fought a demon. Then there was a dude who was on fire. I don't know why. Then my character exploded. But it said, game over, you win. So I guess I win.
So what really broke this open for me and actually made me kind of start to take this seriously was, like, Dark Souls 2 was kind of like, okay, like, a lot of people are talking about it, and, like, on Reddit and stuff like that, GIFs of people dying and really to really hilarious stuff.
You mean
or,
3?
You know, or, no, 2. 2, actually.
Ew.
This is back in the day, yeah. And stuff, like, it started to kind of hit the, it started, to, like, just before Bloodborne, like, I'd say a year before, it kind of started to hit, but it was still a niche, right? And then Bloodborne comes out. And, I mean, we have every variety Twitch streamer playing it. We have, you know, I mean, I could talk about Bloodborne to most of the Halo bros, you know. I don't know where I'd meet the Halo bros in this day and age. But anyway, like, most of them have played Bloodborne. Bloodborne was multi-platform, was it not?
No.
It was not.
It was not?
A PS4 exclusive.
No, so,
that is part of the reason
the Halo
it's so
bros
big.
Will probably not have played.
Yeah,
Bloodborne.
Maybe not the Halo bros, but still, people that I would not expect to have played the game have played it. And most of them had a lot of fun. Obviously, some gave up and, you know, tried to sell it or just threw it in the trash or whatever. But was that the mainstream, like, hit for this game mode? And what's the future if that is the case and we get more games like that? I mean, you have XCOM 2. Was it 2 that came out recently?
2, yes.
Yeah, XCOM 2 that came out recently that, again, I feel the need to mention on podcast, because I'm pretty sure I said this before, right? It's 2 starts assuming you lost 1, because so many people lost 1 on their first playthrough.
That, yeah, it just, statistically speaking, that was the smart choice.
Yeah, like that is how hard this game is, and that is how this game has earned its bones in the niche. I almost want to say niche community, but it doesn't seem like it. So many people were playing XCOM 2, just like Bloodborne.
I think we have to come back to XCOM because we got to speak to Bloodborne first. Mm. Is Bloodborne the mainstay or the one that hits the mainstream? Yeah. Kind of, but not for the reasons you would think. And this isn't to detract from Bloodborne. It's an amazing game. Mm-hmm. So much so that not only did I beat it, I beat it again. I beat it again. Platinumed it. Still kept playing it.
Yeah.
And actually speed run it a few times.
It's an existential horror. Like that's the theme of the game. I'm not sure if Dark Souls is as well, but Bloodborne
is
definitely
not.
Has that in space.
They have completely different themes.
Right. So Bloodborne is like existential horror, which I was not expecting from a game called Bloodborne where you hit people with a giant axe. I wasn't expecting that sort of complexity, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, Bloodborne is a story about a city. It is much more contained, linear, mm-hmm. but it follows a Lovecraftian theme. It starts you off feeling like you're Van Helsing, like I'm killing werewolves and shit. It's great. I'm awesome. And then you learn actually you ain't shit. Then they have the DLC, which just kind of ties a bow on it all and goes, okay, we're done with Bloodborne. I would actually be shocked if they make a Bloodborne 2. I think they have to go to a different place. I think that was a perfect little contained unit.
I was going
to
ask you. Yeah. Because about that.
But a big reason Bloodborne is such a big deal is it came out at a time, which some could argue we're still in that time, mm-hmm. that the new consoles still don't have a whole lot of exclusives. Mm-hmm. And it was a big exclusive from a dev who's made a lot of good stuff in the past.
Yeah, and, like a proven track record, like a Hollywood director of,
And it is, and it's great, because the thing about Dark Souls that a lot of people don't like is the mm-hmm. slow plotting nature of, you know, planning and being careful. Bloodborne, from a narrative, from a mechanics, you know, just mm-hmm. every standpoint, it makes you aggressive.
Right. So
you move faster, you get health back when you're hitting things, your character gets bloodlust when hitting things multiple times, which increases his damage. So basically, it tells you, get in there, dodge the attack, hit, dodge, hit.
And shooting things in between hitting or when they're ramping up or whatever also gives you bonuses,
you
right?
You don't riposte with a shield anymore or mm-hmm. with a dinky little sword. No, you riposte by shooting something in the fucking face with a gun.
Because Bloodborne, one thing I complained when I saw playthroughs and what I've read about and stuff is that caster classes generally did not seem to be very well supported in that game.
Yeah, they could not be aggressive enough to actually function.
Right. And you surprised me by saying, well, Dark Souls has casters as actually being probably a little too strong. And that surprised me. And then I saw somebody playing DMX's X Gon' Give It to You on repeat, with his character like dressed out like as much as Gandalf as possible. And he was just running around setting things on fire. It looked like an amazing amount of fun. It made me want to go out and buy Dark Souls 3 right away.
Uh-huh.
You know,
there are multiple types of casters. They were all viable in their own way, depending on what your play style is. If you want to go kind of hybrid-y, the answer is obviously Pyromancer, because they have the least stat involvement to get the spells and get stuff out of them.
Makes sense.
They scale the quickest, but they drop off the fastest as well in scaling. Sorcery, which is your standard magic, scales for like fucking ever, but requires the most investment to make it worthwhile. And then the Miracles, it's like, yeah, this is, it's all just utility. It's like, look, I can heal, I can take debuffs off, I do have a ranged attack, but it's garbage.
Mm-hmm. Now, without spoiling things too much about Dark Souls 3, Dark Souls 4 or new property?
I think he's going to a new property, though I really, Dark Souls 3 felt like a greatest hits. Mm. It doesn't reach the highs of Dark Souls 1.
Yeah.
Dark Souls is still my favorite in the series, though that may have a lot to do with nostalgia.
Yeah, right.
But Dark Souls 3, there's nothing about the game that made me go, yeah, I don't... Like everything about that game was great.
Mm.
I'm still replaying it again. In fact, I have two playthroughs going simultaneously. I'm apparently insane. But Miyazaki himself says he wants to make a sci-fi game. And I really want to see what the fuck that looks like.
A sci-fi Bloodborne or a sci-fi Dark Souls? I'm trying to imagine what it would be.
Bloodborne's different enough from Dark Souls. What can he do in a cyberpunk world? Come on.
So, speaking of that,
yeah,
The Witcher 3 devs, when they wrap that, have slowly begun to start making their new property.
Really?
Which is cyberpunk or cyber whatever.
Hmm.
What is it? 2077 or something?
Yeah, Cyberpunk.
Yeah, Cyberpunk 2077, I think.
I don't remember the year, but Cyberpunk is a pre-established franchise, which if they're working on that, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, they've been... That was announced more than a year ago. That was announced before Witcher 3 was launched.
Yeah, which they're making it, so it's not going to come out until 2018.
No, but...
Yeah,
especially when they said they're taking a break to rewrite the dev tools.
Is the combat in Witcher similar in terms of difficulty? And I know you have to like Batman up before fights and stuff like that, right? But is the
actual fights are not complex?
Oh, okay. You just have to prepare.
Yeah, if you are properly prepared, every fight is. Attack, 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 dodge, attack, 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 dodge.
Because I could see, I mean, the community that has been built on, and again, this is kind of why the topic came to me this week, was I just saw so many GIFs still. This is what, 4 weeks after, or 3 weeks after it was officially released in North America, and like 6 weeks after it was, you know, unofficially released, right? So many GIFs of just like little situations where you kill the big bad guy or something like that in Dark Souls 3 and trap gets you or something like that. And it's just been hilarious. The community is almost like galvanized by just how difficult, punishing, challenging the game is just because it doesn't spoon feed you. It's like
the community is pretty amazing for the most part.
It's like being in the Navy SEALs of video gamers or something, you know.
I had a guy gank me. And afterwards, he messaged me, and I was like, oh, god damn it, this crap again. And actually, he was totally like, oh, I see what you're doing there. You should probably try this thing. It'll make you much harder to kill.
Right.
And also will help you with this boss that's coming up. And then he, like, offered to, you know, let me summon him to have help with another boss or whatever. And
wow.
They're not doing it out of spite.
That's like World of Warcraft stuff. Classic World of Warcraft community, you know.
It's a big thing about these Souls games. We're all in this together. No one knows what the fuck is going on. Mm-hmm. Sure, we occasionally troll each other, but it's usually a good laugh. I saw one the other day, which may be my favorite GIF of all times, if someone can find it. Mm-hmm. It's just a guy. He reads a message on the ground. It says, go to other side. So he walks around the building, goes to the other side. There's a message on the ground. He reads it. It says, beware of projectile. And then he gets hit in the back of the head with an arrow and falls off a cliff.
Yeah.
So we should really move on from Dark Souls now.
Yes. To?
Yeah. This is more your topic.
Oh,
guys,
I've pretty much wrapped up everything I wanted to say or ask about it. So, yeah.
Well, XCOM's a slightly different thing. Mm-hmm. XCOM is actually just, hey, here's a hard as balls game and a strategy game, because strategy games just kind of disappeared.
Right. To be fair, though, XCOM has multiple difficulty levels.
And they're all, well.
No.
ones.
The easy ones are can be pretty easy.
Could I play it on easy? Really?
You still need to have a basic concept of how to play the game.
Yeah.
But if you leave your guys in cover on the easy difficulties, you should get through the game more or less all right. You will always lose guys to RNG because RNG is RNG.
Guys,
and there is nothing you can do to stop RNG sometimes, but
guys, the first time I miss a, when that game goes on sale anyway, the first time I have a gun in an alien's mouth and my character takes it out of his mouth to shoot at the wall beside it and then puts it back in his mouth, I will throw my computer across the fucking room.
Guaranteed. You may want to just save scum then. I think the game's more fun when you don't, because then it's like there's a panic meter. You don't actually get to see the panic meter. It's behind the scenes, but you can work it out or just get a mod so you can look at it. But basically, there's a lot
of hidden stats
stopping your characters from making those shots.
The way they wrote the code, you can't save scum anymore, though.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. The RNG for that shot has already been decided. It gets decided on your move, not when you shoot.
Mm.
Yeah, on the start of your turn, that's part of why it takes so fucking long to load.
Wow, okay.
So that everything can happen snappily after that.
Yeah. Mm. It's partly to stop the save scumming too.
Oh, well, a big part is it kind of makes it more cinematic though when you take a shot and miss and go shit and then all your guys try to shoot at it. You know, kind of in the panic. It also allows for the whole cover fire system to work.
Yeah, I can't quite remember. It was explained.
Overwatch.
I can't quite remember what it is that's. But I think each movement resets the count, the RNG.
Mm-hmm.
But if you save scum a specific shot, right? You save, you miss a shot, you reload, that shot will always miss. Because of the way it's been.
Yeah, that dice roll has already happened.
Yeah, that dice roll has already happened. Now, if you move someone else and retake that shot,
you've changed how. Because now there's a flanking thing that, you know, there's
Even if it doesn't flank somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but there's also the panic meter, and if you're in sight of that enemy, they saw someone else moved. Like, there's a lot of little things that changed in the background that will cause that to re-roll.
Yeah. But you cannot re-roll, save scum and re-roll every shot anymore, because that shot will always miss.
Aww. Okay. Well,
and none of it's as brilliant as the original XCOM, where you would fire a laser, like, bazooka at someone, miss, watch the bazooka laser fly off into the distance and then blow something up. That's just not really plausible in today's systems, unfortunately. Back when it was just 2D sprites, though, and it was on a flat plane. Yeah, easy enough.
So you've done a lot to explain the idea of these games to me. I'm still going to try to stay away from them for a little while until I have more time. Or more
next
patient.
Time Dark Souls is on sale on Steam, just get it. It's worth, even if you don't get like out of the fucking starting area, it was worth whatever $5 you'll spend.
Really? It's that good.
Yeah.
Personally, they're not my kinds of games.
Yeah.
Just by default, that's not really.
Oh, and don't let anyone tell you you're playing wrong.
I'm
if you feel like you need help, summon someone to help you. You can do that. In fact, there are NPCs you can summon at almost every point in the game who will just help you.
I will need that, even on the easiest setting. There are no settings.
There are no settings.
Yeah. Part of me knew that. Part of me knew that. Yeah. All right. Super. I think that's just about all I've got right now.
That's all we've got?
That is sir.
Should we at least kind of discuss shooters and difficulty settings?
I want to save some of that for Overwatch. I want to save some of that for Overwatch discussion in a little bit.
That's a competitive. That's different than single player stuff.
Well, okay, fine.
And part of because I kind of want to talk about the concepts behind why some of these games are easier than.
Then others. Just do it.
Okay, I want to make sure that you're okay with this.
I'm not. Go ahead.
Wow. Do you hear what I have to deal with, guys, all the time?
Yeah.
We don't actually want you to talk.
Mm.
No, but so...
He's learning. People...
Okay, fine. We'll just end it. You can find me at Kyle Pett. You can find Andy on twitch.tv/tactic. And you can find Pete at BrushWInsanity on Twitter. BrushWInsanity.com.
I actually
have a good night and stay tilty, my friend.
I actually thought of something.
We'll just end the podcast there.
I actually thought of something for Halo's Elites or whatever. Wasn't that kind of the same deal where they were just so ridiculously challenging and hard?
Did we talk about that on podcast about how, or did I talk about that?
Talked about it before, but not in context of this. And then I want to hear you had to go on.
No, it wasn't. It was when we were watching LCS, and the design decision on the library.
Yeah.
And how Halo was designed, with melee combat in mind, and how all the levels in Halo 1 for the most part. Have lots of vertical cover dotted all across them so that you can hide behind them and recharge your shields. And it's, you know,
also
pop in and
recharging
out.
Recharging shields.
Pop in and out, take out an elite shield, melee them, go back into cover, recharge, and all that. And one of the reasons why people hate the library so much is because it completely removes that formula that you have been playing the game for so long when they introduced the flood, because the flood plays against you so differently than the Covenant does.
Mm-hmm.
And the flood plays against you, you know.
The flood just rushes you.
Yeah, the flood rushes you. They've got guys that blow up. So the library, which is kind of the iconic flood level, and part of the criticisms for the library is it was boring and bland.
Stay on target.
Which it was. but they designed the level to be long and narrow and claustrophobic. But it gave you a lot of linear distance to back away from the flood to deal with them. Right? So that was challenging, and a lot of people had a hard time with that. Because they kept trying to play it like they had been playing the game for the first 5 or 6 hours, I think.
Yeah.
So you get to the library. I think that's about when you get there. So you kind of have to like completely change the way how you play. Instead of, you know, ducking and weaving and melee and, you know, in and out of cover, it's just like a lot of backpedaling and running away, and it feels very, very different.
Also, useless fact for the day. Halo was originally an RTS wherein the Covenant, Flood, and humans fought, and it looked exactly like StarCraft.
Oh, wow. Blizzard would have been pissed off, because that means that Halo would have ripped them off, and therefore Games Workshop heavily.
Yep.
Sorry, Blizzard, yeah, we love you.
When they were doing it in a 3D engine, they were playing around with running around in the 3D engine, and we're like, why don't we just make a game like this?
Yeah. Wow.
You know what? And it worked out for the better.
Yeah. It's why those levels are so interesting, because they're actually RTS levels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, snap, crackle, and pop. Shots fired at FPSs, eh? Yeah, map design in FPSs. You're right. I mean, what's the most innovative thing that they tried to do lately? I mean,
just high walls.
No, what was that one game called? Brigade or something like that? You know, the parkour game? What was it called, even? You know the one I'm talking about.
Oh.
Team Fortress 2, but with but on an island after the apocalypse or something like that?
What the fuck was that?
Oh, yeah, no. Brink. Yeah, I had it right.
Yeah,
almost right. Brigade.
Existed.
Brink. Yeah, oh my God. Overwatch is better than Brink, I promise you, Andy. Okay? It's better.
Wow, that's some high praise. I'm not sure.
No, so
lofty heights that you have aimed for.
I think the shooter space specifically, it's kind of a unique case because I feel like the shooter has gone away from like difficulty and it's gone the blockbuster action movie.
Oh, unquestionably. Oh yeah.
That has been, especially the modern military shooter.
Shout out to Titanfall.
That's like they've embraced that, and that's kind of their identity.
Yeah.
And I think there's a space for that, just like there's a space for the summer action blockbuster.
Well, as
hate on Call of Duty all you want for whatever reasons.
I will.
Is their plot convoluted? Yes. Is it ridiculous? Yes. All this. But from the moment-to-moment gameplay, it's like it's a fun action-filled romp. It's like playing a big giant summer blockbuster. You kind of just play it and enjoy it, and it is what it is. You have a good time, and
I hate that saying. I also hate the fact that it's a game that's churned out by three different studios on a rotating schedule. It is the most cynical thing that could ever exist.
So long as the difficulty of trying to make that really challenging FPS doesn't become what the Division is, where I saw a streamer bragging about how, since he had FPS background, I forget his name, he's a bit really popular one, but anyway, that you know he could do overlevel content in the Division. He fired 20 headshots into one of the overleveled elite's heads, who was wearing a scarf and a basket or a football helmet or something like that. 20 rounds into his head before the guy went down. That's just
because it's not a shooter.
Oh, it's not a shooter.
It's like
it's a shooter when you want it to be, but
the Division
is just a bad game.
It's an RPG.
Yeah.
Okay. Like you're rolling for damage, just like you do in WoW.
Really?
Next.
So why have FPS elements at all?
That's a great question. Why would they set it in modern day New York and then completely hamstring themselves and then make it an RPG on top of that, so that all of their realism and modernity, whatever, doesn't work?
Do you know how rare ammo would be?
And also, it's crazy fucking racist.
There should be melee weapons on that game. Do you know how hard ammo would be to find after an apocalypse? Like, anyway.
In New York?
We're getting a little off track here, but
I don't think you've been to a department store in the United States.
Walmart would get sold out in like 30 minutes after the apocalypse.
Sold?
Yeah, stolen out, whatever.
Okay.
Which means all that ammo will just end up being lying all over the place when those people die. It makes perfect sense.
Wow.
I love that they have a quest.
Oh wow.
That game sends you on a quest to like go get supplies, and then you kill a fuckload of people, and then you're like, good, now we can get these supplies to the people. Yeah, but not these people, because they're all dead. Like, the people had the supplies, guys.
Let's steal the supplies from the people to get them to the right people. Wow.
Anyway,
and hope notice that the right people aren't minorities.
Let's actually wrap up now, guys, instead of me passive-aggressively wrapping up before.
Yeah,
when
I was pretty happy with the passive-aggressive
wrap-up. That snapped us back to reality, and then I felt gravity. All right. I do a webcomic.
I think we have to end on that.
Right? I do a webcomic called Brush with Insanity. You can find it at brushwithinsanity.com. You can contact me on Twitter at brushwinsanity. The webcomic is about two wizards just trying to make it in a cruel world and make it a little bit crueler. So, Andy, where can the folks at home find you?
They can sometimes find me streaming at twitch.tv/tactic09, TACTYK. And,
And you can drop us all an email at beyondtilted@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Pett. That's 2 T's in Pet. And from all of us here at Beyond Tilted, stay tilty, my friends, and have a good night.